At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
How are you now? How are you right now? Habs are back on home ice finally, playing some games at the Bell Center. They got a nice little homestand here to deal with. Hello and welcome to episode 73 of the Bottom 6 Minutes podcast presented by Habs Eyes on the Prize. I am Matt Drake, and we're here to talk about your Habs playing against the Carolina Hurricanes at the Bell Center this time. They had, of course, their 4-1 win over the Philadelphia Flyers in their return to the Bell Center after their road trip. How are they going to handle a much more high-powered Hurricanes team? I mean, not to take anything away from the Flyers. I think they're having a pretty good season considering where everybody expected them to be. But the Hurricanes are a different animal altogether. Sitting near, or are they at the top? No, they're right behind New York because New York's running away with the Metro. And Carolina's sitting behind them, looking like they're going to be a second seed in the Metro for the playoffs. And, you know, picked up Jake Guentzel. Picked up Evgeny Kuznetsov, obviously a team that is gearing up and looking like they're going to be a real problem for the Montreal Canadiens on home ice on a Saturday night on Easter weekend. So we're going to go through the recap, everything that happened in there. But first, the tournament is here. I'm talking about March Madness, folks. And BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for the season with the best bracket contests out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. For your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. Your Montreal Canadiens, well, they just about started that game in the most perfect possible way. Right off the opening draw, they go into the offensive zone. Mike Matheson goes around behind the Hurricanes net. He ricochets the puck off a defender's skate. It looks like it goes into the net. I was convinced that he had just scored and opened the scoring, you know, seconds into the game. But eventually, you know, the play would stop and they replayed it. And turns out it did get behind Pyotr Kochetkov. But it went off the post, off the crossbar, then off the outside post, and then back out of the net. So it really looked like it was in, and it was close to being in, but it just wasn't meant to be. And honestly, from that point out, it was a pretty close period. Pretty even. It was a little low event. Not as low event as the first period against the Flyers, but honestly, just tightly checked. We got chances going both ways, but the high-danger chances were about even. Shots by the end of the period were 9-8 in favor of the Hurricanes, but you know, a far more even period than you would expect, you know, almost last place in the Eastern Conference team in the Habs to be doing against the second place team in the Metro Division. I mean, it was, by all accounts, a successful period for the Montreal Canadiens, given the difference in strength between these two teams. But 0-0 at the end of 20 minutes of play. We go into the second. We still have a very tight game going on. Habs actually start getting the better chances and getting more volume of their chances as well. So, like, they're starting to outplay the Hurricanes a little bit. And then Nick Suzuki gets called for an absurd interference penalty. He kind of gets his stick across Seth Jarvis, so I guess you got a case for hooking. But Seth Jarvis just reaches out with his free hand, grabs the stick, and then throws it away. So if anything, you know, you could call two penalties there. Certainly interference was a silly thing to call at all. If anything, it was a hook and then holding the stick. But just ridiculous. And the Habs now have to go out there and they have to face one of the better power plays in the entire league. And they managed to actually kill that one off. Surprisingly, I was sure that was going to end in a goal. You know, when you get a bullshit penalty like that, you kind of just expect the other team to get rewarded for it. But they don't this time. Pretty good kill. Really good work from Semyon Moltombo in net. And again, the Habs just getting into shooting lanes, getting into passing lanes, and just disrupting things that the Hurricanes are trying to do. And again, that's a very good power play that the Hurricanes have. So good job for them to get out of that one. And then the Habs, right after they kill that off, get their first power play opportunity of the game. Evgeny Kuznetsov just yeets the puck over the glass in his own zone. That's a puck over the glass penalty, and the Habs get 2 minutes to try to go to work for themselves, but it's disastrous. They get a few chances, but then Mike Matheson tries to make a cute play at the line. He's got two guys coming in to pressure him, and instead of just throwing it deep, he's trying to dangle his way out of trouble, and that leads to a breakaway for Jordan Staal. He puts it off the post and in past Semyon Moltombo, and it's 1-0. Now, 3 minutes to go in the period, Brett Pesce would get baited into a roughing penalty by Brendan Gallagher, and the Habs got their second opportunity of the game on the power play. And now you could see they were gripping their sticks a little tight after they got scored on the first one. They almost got scored on in that one as well. Mike Matheson again got caught at the line. And it led to a chance, but Semyon Moltombo was able to make the save on that one. But it just really didn't look good. It looked like they were scared to make a mistake against that Hurricanes penalty kill. And they don't get anything out of it. Luckily, they also don't get scored on. We go into the third period with a 1-0 game. And at this point, the Habs are, especially a 5-on-5, they're outplaying the Hurricanes. If you take into account the entire game, first period, pretty even. Second period, definitely favor the Montreal Canadiens, despite them screwing up on their power play. And honestly, I feel like maybe they can actually win this if they can figure out a way to turn some of their chances into an actual goal. But then a few minutes into the period, we get a really bad shift from Jordan Harris, which was weird because he was really good in that game up until this point. But just on one shift, he turned the puck over, I think, three times. And on the last turnover that he had, he tried to mop it up and ended up taking a hooking penalty for mopping it up. And very quickly into that power play, shot gets blocked. The rebound goes directly to Sebastian Aho at the side of the net. Semyon Moltombo has no idea where it is, and Aho puts it in. It's 2-0 in favor of the Carolina Hurricanes. Habs, you know, from that point looked a little bit deflated. Seemed like the wind was taken right out of their sails. Brent Burns got called for a really obvious tripping penalty on Brendan Gallagher later in the game. But that power play was so bad. Like, they went from getting scored on the first one after they got a couple of chances. They were looking good, then they got scored on, started gripping their sticks too tight. Last opportunity they get with the Burns penalty in the third period, and they're getting booed by the fans in the Bell Center for how bad it is. We get down to the dying minutes. They pull Semyon Moltombo a little bit early to try and get something going because they're down 2-0. And very quickly, Seth Jarvis ends up with an empty netter to make it 3-0. And that was your final. Pyotr Kochetkov gets the shutout. The Montreal Canadiens lose. They cannot start themselves a little winning streak on home ice. And I think Team Tank is probably very thankful that they were not able to start themselves a winning streak, because elsewhere in the NHL, Arizona lost. They lost 8-5, I think, to the New York Rangers. What a barn burner that apparently was. And the Ottawa Senators won. So, you know, you want to try to keep pace, I guess, with Arizona for looking after that that fifth last or the top five projected lottery pick. And you also don't want to give Ottawa an opportunity to jump in front of you in that lottery. So I think this was a game. Again, you look at the standings, you look at the strength of the respective rosters. It's a game that you expect the Canadiens to lose, and it's a game that, from a tanking perspective, you kind of needed them to lose. So I think it's not such a bad thing that they ended up losing. And I'll tell you right now, my silver lining of the night is that they played well enough against the Carolina Hurricanes to win. That's your silver lining, for sure. They played well enough to beat a team that they probably shouldn't be beating at all this season. And if they had competent special teams in that game, I think we're probably looking at, we're looking at a 0-0 game going into the overtime at the end of the third there. Like, I don't see, because the Hurricanes were not getting very good chances at 5-on-5. Let's be honest, all right? They had a couple in the first period that I thought were pretty good, but second period in particular, the Habs were just better at 5-on-5. And I think if the wind didn't get taken out of their sails like that, I think they could have continued getting better chances, and you know, maybe they would have scored one. But realistically, I think if the special teams were on point, that game's 0-0 at the end of the third, and you're going into overtime. So that's a good silver lining for this team, because now you know, like, you're capable of skating with some of these top teams in the East. You can do it. So what that's going to mean next season, when they've improved a little bit, they've probably cut off some of the dead weight, they're going to have a legitimate shot at pushing for a playoff spot. And then they're also going to be able to, if they do push and they end up with like a wild card spot, they're going to have that little bit of extra confidence knowing that, hey, like, we can take it to these guys a little bit in the regular season. We like our chances in a 7-game series. We want to step into that underdog role. We've been there before. As an organization, we've definitely been there before, and we've seen what it's like to have every single pundit picking you to lose in 4, 5, 6 games, and then you go out there and you push it to 7, and then all of a sudden anything can happen, and you end up with a magical run like we had back in 2021. So, look, I'm not saying that's going to happen next season. I'm saying that the fact that they know they can skate with these teams, that little bit of extra confidence, I think, is going to go a long way next season, and we'll see where it gets them. It should be interesting at the very least. As for individual performances, it's tough for me to really single anybody out when you get shut out like that. I mean, however, I'm gonna throw out a couple of names there, and I want to start with Jordan Harris, because, as I mentioned, he had one really bad shift that ended up precipitating the second goal for the Hurricanes. And I just want to say, you know, if you're upset at Jordan Harris, you leave Jordan Harris alone. He had a really good game outside of that one shift. And that's, in a tight game like that, you really can't do that. So he can't have a shift like that. But I think he's the kind of player that's going to learn from that really quick. And I don't think you'll see something like that from him again. Outside of that one shift, he was really good in that game. So you got to give him a little bit of slack. He played really well. So just wanted to throw that one out there. Juraj Slafkovský really impressed me in this game. There were multiple moments where he looked like he was ready to just absolutely take over. He was dominating the puck whenever he was on the ice. He created a number of good chances that got stopped by Kochetkov, or, you know, the puck was fluttering and it ended up being a shittier shot than they were trying to put on, or a defender got in the way and ended up blocking it. Like, Slafkovský, puck rolls right for him in that game. He could have had a couple of tucks, and I think he's been playing some inspired hockey, and he was one of the most impressive looking forwards out there in a game where you're playing against a team in the Canes that have a lot of very impressive forwards that can usually outshine you a little bit. So really liked his game there in that one. Unfortunately, he couldn't keep his streak going, but look, all streaks come to an end at some point. Nobody has a streak that lasts forever. So you knew it was going to come, and obviously in a game where they get shut out, you can't really blame him. And I think, again, you got to look at how well he played in that game and the kind of things he was generating, and you got to say, hey, listen, there was enough there for him to keep the streak going, and that's all that matters, is the way that he's playing, right? If he's doing the right things, he absolutely was in that game. So, you know, I thought he played pretty well. I could say the same for Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield. You know, that whole line was, they were definitely doing really good in terms of generating chances. They just couldn't cash in on any of them. I would maybe say all three of them should share some of the blame for the power play sucking. Look, it seemed clear to me that after Matheson gave up that goal in the second period, that they were, like I said, gripping their sticks too tight. But those three are, like, the power play really runs through them, and they have to, like, they have to just get it together, and they have to figure out a way to overcome that. It's going to be one of the most important things in this team getting back to being competitive, is having a useful power play, having a power play that can actually make teams pay when they make mistakes. And we didn't see that in this game. Matter of fact, they made themselves pay when the other team made a mistake, right? You get that puck over the glass penalty, and you should be mouth-watering at that point. Like, we're going to go put one in. And again, they were. They had a couple of good chances, and then, you know, one mistake, and all of a sudden, they forgot everything that they were doing in the first minute or so of that power play that that looked really good. So, good game from all three of them, but I would have liked to see them figure it out a little bit better on the power play, at least. Last but not least, I got to talk about Semyon Montembeau. He played a great game. The goals that went in, you can't really fault him for them. You know, he had a breakaway. You had a... well, yeah, one of them was an empty netter, so you can't even talk about that one at all. But you had the breakaway for Jordan Staal, which, you know, those are basically 50-50 in the NHL. And then you had the rebound shot, the block shot that went straight to Sebastian Aho at the side of the net. Like, that's one of the top, like, he's an elite player in the NHL. That guy's not going to miss from there when he gets a block shot that lands perfectly for him as he's coming downhill toward the net. Outside of that, Semyon Montembeau was perfect. He made all the saves that they needed him to make. He's a guy that they're going to be able to rely on a lot next season. I still wonder, are they going to move towards more of an even split between him and Caden Primeau? I don't know. I think Montembeau has done enough to earn the undisputed starter role, so I think he will get the undisputed starter games, but I don't think that he's going to get like the Carey Price treatment where it's like, hey, buddy, we're going to need you for 65 or 70 this year, and then you barely play the other guy. I think it's going to be a lot closer to an even split. And it should be interesting because they're both playing very well right now. They're both playing very good hockey. And you got two goaltenders that can battle it out like that. They may be able to move more to like a two-headed monster in the net next season. And we'll see where it takes them. We'll see. We got to wait and see. At this point, there's not a whole lot of games left. So we are very quickly dwindling out the remainder of the season. And we're going to get there sooner than later. I could sit here and, you know, take a dump on Mike Matheson for his couple of bad plays, but I'm not going to do that. Honestly, I actually thought he was pretty decent in that game too, outside of a couple of bow-headed plays. So really, I just want to leave it on that last thought, which is the same thing that I said for my silver lining of the night. This team is capable of playing some really tight games against ostensibly superior rosters, and we've seen that time and time again this season. And they're just getting, you know, they're just seeing the light at the end of the tunnel for the rebuild right now. They're seeing the light. They're not. Nobody's announcing that the rebuild's over. Jared Book had a great piece about it the other day on Habs Eyes and the Prize. If you haven't read it yet, go look at it. He takes a little shot at the Ottawa Senators in there. Like, we're not announcing any rebuilds being over here, but this team, if this team is jockeying for a lottery spot next season, that'll be a failure. This is a team that's probably, I believe anyway, is going to be jockeying for a wild card spot. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be, because it's been a few long years of, you know, looking at Tankathon all the time. And I think next season we're finally going to be able to move away from that. And for the remainder of this year, we just get to enjoy the games, I think. This was one that, you know, the 3-0 shutout, not very easy to enjoy. But at the same time, like I said, as my silver lining of the night, the fact that they can play a game like that against a team like the Canes, I think is a great sign of things to come, and I think it's going to be a huge confidence booster for them. That's all I really got for you. Apologies if this is a bit of a shorter episode, but, you know, 3-0 shutouts don't exactly get me standing up and yelling about an amazing game. We're only running about 17 minutes. Alors, une soirée pas mal typique pour les employés de soutien. We are on Spotify, Google Play, Apple. I'm on Twitter at DrakeMT. Drop me a follow. I would appreciate that very much. This episode was brought to you by BetOnline. Thank you, as always, for listening. And, of course, à la prochaine.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.